What's happening? Fourth hour hashtag fastest 4 hours in radio. Upon you, upon us. Blessed to bring it to you courtesy of All Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Coach Mack will join us in the next segment. Talk Titans and NFL with him, of course. 11-year NFL veteran involved for life. Ramon Foster's here. Jonathan Schaefer's here. I'm Jason Martin. At Ramon Foster, at Schaefer on Sports, at JMart Radio, at JMart and Ramon. So we already talked about Monday Night Football being a big one this coming week.
Yeah.
Tonight you got the 7-4 Cowboys, 5-6 Saints. Saints are going to Taysom Hill. The Trevor Siemian experiment is over.
Uh-oh.
This is the kind of game the Cowboys have to win. Mm-hmm. If they're going to be taken seriously. Like 7-4, that loss to the Raiders. They don't have their head coach tonight, which I think might be an advantage, even though we already know what Dan Quinn looks like as a head coach. Mm. And it's not particularly good either.
Uh-oh.
This needs to be the night where, look, it's prime time. Dak Prescott needs to go wild tonight.
Yeah. He's I ain't gonna say he's falling into a lull a little bit.
He's just kind of there right now.
Yeah, he's just there. Again, I know guys have slumps, and of course, this is the latter part of the season where you expect guys to be going, you know, moving up as far as their play and performance. The season is there. You are who you are at this point, and you just continuously getting better from where you're at. And he's got to show up, man. This team needs him to lead as much as he can. And I'll say this, too. Zeke, he's got to be a guy. Like, I think more people are fanboying out about Pollard than anything else on that offense. Like, they got some tools. They got a line. They got the franchise quarterback. Zeke and Dak got to step it up. And they got to make the Saints look real pedestrian. And I say that, but that Saints defense is still A1. They're really good.
Yeah.
They will test you for sure. It's just that that offense they got right now with Taysom Hill being at the front of it is it's not going to be what Michael Thomas is probably gone. I think it's Kamara still out.
He's questionable for
questionable.
Tonight.
So – I just don't see them winning it, but you need a dominating performance by this team considering what they gave up on the biggest watched game, biggest viewed game since, what was it, 2003 or something? I don't know when it was, but that Cowboys-Raiders game was one of the biggest watched games, the most watched games in NFL history in a long time, and they got embarrassed. I ain't gonna say they got embarrassed. They just took an L they couldn't afford. And this one right now being an NFC matchup, they gotta win. They are fourth right now as far as playoff positioning, playoff standings on the NFC side.
There's some of those games this week. You've got the Chargers and the Bengals. Mm-hmm. We're getting to the point where it's like there are some games on the schedule where we're going to find out whether or not it's time to go ahead and cut bait or not. Mm-hmm. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Chargers, you talk about a team that needs to win right now. They need to win in the worst way. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals are coming off a throttling of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm a smoke show.
So now people are starting to look at the Bengals again and saying, could they make some noise in the playoffs? Last time that happened, they got beat.
They did.
They have this game at home. I think our eyes need to be on that one on Sunday because those are two teams that could be competing, certainly for wild card spots, if not for their division. Denver, Kansas City, Sunday night football. Denver beat the Chargers last week. Are the Chiefs back? Jeez. Well, Denver has a defense. They like to turn the ball over in terms of on the defensive side of the ball. They like to take the ball away. I think it's going to be a little bit of a test for Kansas City, but that's the one where we're going to find out whether or not the Chiefs are legit or you still can't trust them.
Yeah, and the thing is the Chiefs are going off of the credit at this point. They got stock in everybody's emotional bank with how they've done. Mm-hmm. Even when they were bad and they were going through the skid, heck, the Titans smacked them. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot that happened. They just didn't look good. Everybody gave them the excuse the offensive line is young, they're gelling, and that's true. Everybody gave them the excuse the defense still got to get better. Well, guess what? They make the change and put Chris Jones in the middle, and they're starting to get guys back on defense. They benched Sorensen. Remember how bad he was? Heck, he was bad here in Tennessee also when the Titans played him. But now they're starting to turn that corner, put their foot on the gas a little bit more. But I'm still of the mindset that they still going to have to prove it to me. they weren't in my top seven. But right now, as far as this is triggering, I'm just going to tell you that too. The NFL's.com top rankings, the ranking right now, they actually have the Chiefs fourth.
And that's just because of what they are, like, or what they've been. As you said, they have this equity in the bank.
They do.
And they have a quarterback that you just love.
Mm-hmm.
But they've definitely shown some flaws. They've won some games as some other teams have kind of fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to play better football. But let's look at the Chiefs real quick. Off the top of my head, I can't remember their opponents during this last stretch. But
last stretch, I get them for
they've won four in a row. Giants by three.
You got
20 it. 20-17.
Yeah.
Packers 13-7 without Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
Raiders 41-14. That one was relatively impressive. That was the first time they've looked like themselves, maybe all year.
Yeah, that's when everybody started to pat their bat again.
Then Dallas 19-9.
Mm-hmm.
What they've got going up or coming up is Broncos, Raiders, Chargers, Steelers, Bengals, Broncos. There's nobody that I just mentioned that at least isn't still playing for something and isn't going to give them their best shot. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of their 6 remaining games are division games.
Man, all of them are AFC.
Yeah, they're all AFC, and 5 of the 6 are AFC West.
Ooh. We going to find out.
You are going to find out.
Yes, we are.
That is indeed a point. By the way, no Kamara tonight.
No Kamara.
According to Ian Rappaport just a couple of minutes ago. No Ryan Ramczyk tonight. No Teron Armstead either. So they're missing 2 offensive linemen plus Alvin Kamara.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's not
good. Have fun with that, Taysom.
Yeah, good luck. And you know, it'll be one of those games where he run all over the field simply because they didn't plan for that. Or Taysom will do something silly and crazy and run well. But I don't understand this NFL power ranking. I would like to think that these people aren't trying to trigger folks and just get you going. But if somebody could call up and justify this ranking, Green Bay 1, Arizona 2, Tampa, and then Kansas City. I'm totally lost on this one. Behind Kansas City, you got New England, Buffalo, Cincy, Dallas, Baltimore, and then San Francisco as your top 10. I don't see Kansas City as a top 5 team in the NFL right now.
I need to see more. I wouldn't be surprised if they're in the Super Bowl. Because
I mean,
we know it. Right. But, I mean, even now, I wouldn't be surprised, especially because in the AFC specifically, we continue to ask, who do you really believe in?
Mm-hmm.
The Titans with their injury situation, if they can get healthy, sure, they're going to be in the mix.
Yeah, they will.
There's no question about it because there's nobody that's really standing out. You got a rookie quarterback in New England. So what happens once you get to the – and he trademarked. You see that? He trademarked MJ10 yesterday.
Oh, yep.
You've got the Bills who – the Bills to me are Jekyll and Hyde. Sometimes they look like the best team. They also lost Tre'Davious White last week for the year, and that's a big loss for them. Allen's going to have to not have that regression game once you get to the one-and-done situation in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, they got to play New England twice.
Yep.
And the Monday night game is going to kind of set the stage for what's going on. Baltimore, Baltimore's 8-3, but they don't feel like an 8-3 team.
No, they don't.
Not at all, as a matter of fact. That game Sunday, I wish both teams could have lost. Not because I don't like those teams, but because I didn't like that game. That game irritated me beyond belief, and I know I'm not alone.
There's not a single team in the AFC right now that I think could go on a sustained run. And what I mean by that is any of those teams at the top I think can win or lose. I know that sounds like a silly statement, a wishy-washy statement.
It's not.
It's just I can see them winning. I can see them losing. I could see probably 5 or 6 of the teams that of the 7 that get into the AFC playoffs with a legitimate chance to go into
the Super
Bowl.
I don't think it's ever been more wide open.
At least not in recent history.
Because it's not a top-heavy conference because I don't know what the top even is. It feels like it's just kind of everybody is. We talked about this.
I don't think it's been this open pre-Patriots dynasty.
I'll say this, and it's going to sound weird.
That's been, 25 years almost?
That's what I'm saying, over 20 years.
I don't think it's a hot take to say I think one of the strongest teams on the AFC side, to me, had they split a game, would be the Colts. They got a long way to go.
The problem is, they
put themselves in such a bad spot.
I don't think they're going to get in.
And that's what I'm saying.
Like, that's a team that I could see.
They'll be better than teams that make the playoffs, and they won't make the playoffs.
The Colts are a team that could look like the Titans that went to the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago.
That's the
But they're not going to get in.
Because they got behind the eight ball so far.
I mean,
they're the Predators that got into the playoffs and ended up.
Yeah. Because the Predators got in with
the Stanley
one
Cup,
or two games
by
to
the
spare.
Skin of their teeth.
And then just went on a roll.
But the Colts are not going to make the playoffs.
They won't.
Because they have to. It's not going to be in the cards.
They're not going to win a division.
Right.
That's number one. And then everybody else, like you said, is just in the middle of fighting for 10 wins, it seems like.
But I'll say this. If they somehow, some way get in as a 7 seed, look out. Was there a live
one? No, nobody wants to see them right now at all.
Even though we're not a big fan of Carson Wentz on this show, it's not a team you want to face.
If you look at their numbers.
Yeah. Look, there's a reason why people were picking the Colts over the Titans in the preseason. It wasn't unreasonable.
No, it was not. Coach Mack, never unreasonable. Yeah. We'll talk to him on the other side. You won't want to miss that. It is J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. J. Martin Ramon, 104.5 The Zone. Toy Field, Tuesday. Nissan Stadium, building a field of toys to benefit the Salvation Army's Forgotten Angels. We love doing this, taking part in it every single year while you're out doing holiday shopping over the next few days. Try to remember those in need. Pick up a gift for a senior or a toy. Help us build a field of toys at Nissan Stadium on Tuesday. Also, 3HL will be broadcasting live at B-Dubs in Franklin, and that'll be a secondary drop-off spot for toys. The rest of us will be at Nissan Stadium. All the info you need, 1045thezone.com. Now all the info you need about the world of the NFL, thanks to Farm Bureau Health Plans. Healthcare coverage and Farm Bureau Health Plans like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947, and they're why we have our pal Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio on. Coach, how are you enjoying the bye week?
J-Mart, I'm doing well. You sound a lot better. I'm glad you're feeling better, brother. You were down a little bit for a while, but you're back.
Yeah, if anybody ever tells you, Coach, man, you should try pneumonia out, I would tell you to tell them to,
go bite rocks.
Yeah, pretty much. Go pound sand.
Well, yeah, I mean, if anybody offers me pneumonia, probably a hard pass. Yeah, I'll take a hard pass on that. Ramon, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, Coach Matt. Glad to hear you sound like you're upbeat. I'm sure you need this rest period for yourself also.
Yeah, well, I've been offered the opportunity to fly back out to L.A. to do with Sports USA to do the Rams-Jaguars game this Sunday, and I'm deciding whether I'm going to do that or not. But I've got plenty to do if I do that, and I got plenty to do if I don't.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a team, Coach, that needed a bye week more than the Tennessee Titans did, considering the challenges that they are continually having to overcome this season?
Well, J. Marks, you know the numbers. I mean, you guys know the numbers, and you've seen that latest graph that was put out. We don't need a graph here to know that the Titans have been fighting a historic bout of injuries and that, had kind of reached a tipping point the last 2 weeks. But having only 13 players that have been available to play as starters the whole season, I mean, it's amazing. When most teams, with your starters, they've had, around 30 or 31. I mean, it's unprecedented. Hopefully what this will do is be able to start getting some guys back. Clearly everybody's not going to come back at once, but you need to start getting your dudes back, because this, now that we're going into, is a 5-week season. And it starts with the Jaguars, for the next one. It's a 5-week season. And it's a 5-week stretch of one game seasons. And so we need to start getting our guys back, because, I mean, you can dig down, as a long way, but you sooner or later, you are going to reach a point as to where you've got so much going on different every week and only so much time to prepare and get those new guys ready that it doesn't coalesce. Now, let me just say this, and I'm sure that Mike Vrabel would say this. He's already said it. Regardless of who's out there, just referring to the last 2 weeks, is that regardless of who's out there, you still have to be able to play smart football. And by smart football, I mean you can't turn the ball over. You just cannot turn the ball over, because the two biggest leveling factors in the National Football League, regardless of the squads that are playing, are turnovers and explosive plays. And we have not had enough explosive plays on offense. We've given up, you know, too many on defense, and we've turned the ball over. And so you do that, then you're not giving yourself a real equal chance, regardless of who's playing.
Yeah, Coach Mack, and that's where it's at. And it's a lot of stretch that this team has. Three home games and two on the road. The ideal thing is you at least got to get four of whatever these games are. But what is the mindset? Because, you know, like I know, December football, January football also, you got to be still moving up. You can't be a roller coaster moving forward into the playoffs, and you got to get your momentum. So which games for sure is a must that you have to get, Coach Mack?
You got to get the next one. Yeah. You got to get the next one, Ramon. I mean, look, I'm a lifelong coach, and I know what their mindset is, but you got to get concentrated on the next one, because mm-hmm. without the next one, then, you know, everything else, you know, starts to cascade the other way. So you've got to get the next one, and that's what's extremely important. And you know, people ask me, I've done, you know, several national shows, and they've asked me, you know, well, you know, during this break, as late as it comes, you know, will they do self-scouting? And I said, look, in this day and age, you self-scout every week.
Right.
I mean, you've got the technology there now that it every week you've got reports on your desk, because you've got to self-scout yourself during certain segments of the season just to be sure you're not getting into a pattern. And then being able to find out what you might be able to switch up without completely, you know, going in a completely different direction, both offensively, defensively, and teams-wise. So they've been self-scouting, you know, the whole time. But what they're going to look at, and Mike Vrabel said it, I believe, in his last press conference, that, you know, Tuesday Tuesday and Wednesday, it was going to be a real, you know, let's tell the truth time, you know, watching tape and digging in and finding out, look, we take the injuries out of it because nobody cares about the injuries except you. Correct? Yeah. Because look, I'll just be honest. When I was coaching and my opponents were hurt, I was happy. Mm-hmm. All right. Because that's just this is a shark infested league. It really is. And you go after people, and you're not, you have no sympathy. There's no sympathy in this league for teams that are struggling because of injuries. I mean, you go after them because you beat them, that win counts the same as it does if you beat their full and whole and healthy squad. So look, you've got to take that out of it, and you got to figure out a way. And as I said, going into this, the primary thing you would like to get some of your dudes back, but hope is not a strategy in the National Football League. You've got to work with what you have, but be sure everybody is on point to play a clean game when you get into the Sunday games that you're going to play from here on out. That, to me, is what they're concentrating on.
Mac, as a coach, maybe you can see this from Vrabel's perspective, but watching the game Sunday, the thing that was a little frustrating to me was just, it did feel like that was a winnable game. Like watching and watching them move the ball, it felt like it felt like mistakes this team has not made a whole lot throughout the year bit them in a spot where they didn't have a margin for error.
Well, J-Mart, you're 100% right. Look, it felt like I get to watch them practice every week. It felt like a good plan watching them practice. They had a good plan for the way they wanted to try to maneuver that game, and it was an excellent plan. They were going to run the football. They were going to run the football, and they were going to keep New England from running it, you know, to the point as to where they could control time of possession, you know, a lot. They had that going. I mean, that game was a winnable game for quite a while in that game. But the turnovers, look, you had two backs in this back rotation and I think they're starting to figure that out, how to make that work, that the longest runs either one of them, I mean, the longest, most yardage either one of them had ever put together collectively, all right, in their NFL careers to this point, was 35 yards. 35 yards rushing. You have both dudes go over 100 yards. You have 270 yards rushing. But at the end of two of those explosive runs, you turn the ball over, all right? You turn the ball over, and then you get into the red zone, and you turn the ball over with a tip pass. You know, the fourth turnover in that game meant nothing. I mean, that was like garbage yards at the end of the game. The game was done then. But when the game was not done, those turnovers were massive. And then you had some field position issues caused by some special teams penalties that were a problem. Because to beat a team like that, and let's be honest, you know, New England is on that pace right now. I mean, they're a different team. I said this, you know, on you guys' show, this show last week, mm-hmm. watching that the Patriots, they're a different team now than they were at 2-4. I mean, they're making that push that Ramon talked about right now, you know, in December. And so you were going to have to stay on top of what you were doing the whole game. They were doing it until the turnovers came in. And then, as I mentioned, you had some field position issues because of some penalties on special teams. And so to me, Guy, I agree with you, J-Mart. They had a good plan and a specific plan going in there, but they derailed themselves with those miscues that I just talked about.
Coach Mack, man, teams in general have a history of doing things. And I've always known the Titans to be a run team. It didn't matter who was at running back. And it seemed like last week, the 270 that they got against New England, whether New England was going to say, hey, you know what, you're going to have to beat us on the ground or not, you got to look at Ty Downing and say to yourself, well, you did a few things in this run game that allowed you to, you know, kickstart what this organization has always done well. And one play in particular, I don't know if I've ever seen it with Derrick Henry, was the draws. Like, watching him do that, that's something that they could build off of. The play action from the draws, is that something you think that should be done moving forward with this offense?
Let me tell you what, let me talk to you from draws on a defensive perspective.
Yeah.
If they, and that one came on third and change. Mm-hmm. When I say third and change, I'm talking about third and longer, okay? Because here's what you've got to do. And again, it goes into scouting your opponent. On third and change, especially if they got a little bit of a score separation, some teams will get on the edge outside. You know this from your playing career, and just fly up the field, okay? And really don't take a whole lot of gap responsibility up front, figuring out that you've got long enough down a distance that even if it breaks the first line, you will be able to stop it before it gets to that first down marker, right?
Yep.
They called it at the right time. A draw to me, and I'm talking again from a lifelong defensive coach in this league, is something that you're trying to do to get the defense on their left foot, or trying to get the defense on their left foot, other than what they've been doing on first, second, or third down throughout the course of the game. There's two plays like that, you know, that I always used to term deceptives from a defensive play caller standpoint. There's two of those types of plays that you have to be able to defend no matter when they come, but sometimes they come when you're trying to defend just the opposite of what's happening. That's draws, and that was a lag draw too.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an old school lag draw. You know what I'm saying? Mm. When you let the people rush upfield and then you push everybody outside. That was an old school lag draw. That was a great call. And then the other play, and that, you know, the Titans had some issues with in that game against New England are the screens.
Yeah.
You know, screens are deceptives. Okay. Screens are deceptives. And so, to me, to answer your question, I think you can't go into it saying we're gonna draw people to death. It has to be okay at a certain time and point during the course of the game.
Coaches, you're looking at the AFC right now. What are your feelings like? Because we're all trying to make sense of it. We're all trying to figure out who's going to come out. And we've said, maybe I think Schaefer said this in the last segment, not since before the Patriots dynasty began have we seen an AFC that feels so wide open where so many teams could potentially get to a Super Bowl.
Well, I think Shafe's right. I mean, when you look at what's transpired this year in the AFC, you've seen people as the season has progressed. You know, the first month of the season, it's a kind of a feeling out process, and you really don't know. And then, but you know, through the first 8 weeks of the season, all of a sudden, you know, people started to take different positions as far as starting to the initial positioning of maybe getting into the tournament. And so I agree with Schaefer, and that's why December football is so important in the National Football League. And it's even exaggerated this year because you've got 17 games that count. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to be able to do is not only survive but thrive in the early part of the season to try to position yourself to make a move, and then be ready to hit it to another acceleration point to make a move in December. But I, you know, I look, guys, the AFC team that I care about is what the Titans do. If I had my way, every other AFC team would lose a game every time they played in these next 5 weeks. I mean, and that's – but you can't concentrate on that. You've got to concentrate on – and it goes back to Ramon's question, what's the most important part of these next 5 weeks? This next game coming up. That's the most important part.
We've seen the shuffling of O-line a little bit more, and, of course, Nate's dealing with the concussion stuff, but he had one back-to-back week, so it's going to take a little bit more time. But watching a young guy like Aaron Brewer come in, him and let's say Questenberry both, the need for them to necessarily take that next step, Coach Mack, down this line, it's got to be very important to this team, right?
Well, I mean, their next step is just continue to look. Here's the one thing about those two guys that's been impressive, and especially with this squad this year, they've been available every week.
That's true. Right?
I mean, that's the step. They've been available, and they'll fight you with whatever they have. So I've got no problem with that. And they don't have to do anything extraordinary. They just got to continue to be available. And then, you know, Aaron Brewer, every time Aaron Brewer goes in, Questenberry's the same thing. They'll give you everything they have. I mean, it's not for a lack of attention and effort that, you know, they're playing, but – you know, they have been, and to me, when you start looking at, you start thinking about, you know, people that you really depend on right now, especially with what the Titans are going through injury-wise. I mean, and you can go right to the center point with Ben Jones. Ben Jones has been there all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy just keeps doing it. Those are the guys that you really appreciate right now when, look, availability is a major, major issue right now with this football team. And so those that have been available, those 13 that have been available for all 12 weeks right now, those are the dudes.
Yeah.
Coach, just because you watched him up close and we all saw him, how impressed are you with what Mac Jones is doing as a rookie in New England?
Jay Martin, I mean, I was on your show every week leading up, and Titans Radio does a really extensive draft coverage. You know, I've done it every year since I've been here, and I've done it for 35 years. When you vetted that guy, let me tell you what he's doing. He's doing exactly the same thing he did for Nick Saban. It's exactly the same thing. He was that dude. And I've, you know, done a lot of national shows, and people ask me, especially before and after that game, do you think that he would be having this type of year or be better with – people that have taken him earlier been better suited to take him? And I said no, because he'd have gone to a worse team. This was a perfect scenario for him, and especially when Bill Belichick, you know, went out and reconfigured that team with $160 million in guaranteed money, you know, to pay out, to reconfigure that team and surround him with veterans. Josh McDaniels done a wonderful job with him. But Mac Jones, if you want to really be honest, is doing nothing different with the Patriots than he did with, you know, one of the negatives, if it is a negative that I heard during the draft, was that, well, he's got great people surrounding him, so he's just distributing the ball to great players. Well, that's kind of what quarterbacks do, right? I mean, and so to me, it's not a shock to me. I don't know the player personally, but I just know mannerisms. Why he's pretty unflappable, but they're not asking him to do outrageous things, and he's doing a tremendous job. But I give, first of all, him credit for staying true to who he was and is. And then I give Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick a lot of credit for surrounding him with people that can help him.
Great stuff, Coach. We appreciate you, brother.
Absolutely, thanks,
as always,
Coach Matt.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Ramon, are you doing a game down at the high school?
I am, Coach Matt, covering a state championship game in Class 2A with Don, and we'll have Ron Slay in the booth as a spotter, Coach.
Let me just say, I knew that, but I just ask it just to be a really good radio guy for this reason. I was in there with doing 3HL, and I knew Dawn was doing the game, and then she told me that, you know, you were gonna be her color analyst. I said, well, who's your spotter? She said, I don't have one. I said, well, you need a spotter, you know, because you guys, I mean, it's different if you've been with a team all year. And then Ron Slay said, well, I'm going to be there. I said, well, you be the spotter.
Yeah.
He said, I'll be the spotter. He said, but I don't know much about spotting. I said, call Rhett Bryan. Rhett Bryan is a Pro Bowl spotter in the whole history of the league. Call Rhett Bryan. So Hopefully he called Rhett. I know he did. I know he called. I know he called Rhett because I know that Don called called Mike Keith and got some really good bullet points. All right, I don't have to give you any. You know, ball. So just go do it.
And you know what? Well, you know what Rhett did. You gave him Pro Bowl. I'm giving him All Pro, Coach Mack. He brought in Ron an envelope with some binoculars in it, and he said he left some notes for Ron Slay too. So you might have another guy to help you out sometime soon if you ever need it, Coach.
You know what? If I would love to do that one. I would, you know, kind of like when Stretch was the acting head coach.
Yeah.
That time for the preseason game, the preseason put Ron Slay up there to spotter. We might not get much of the game called, but we'd have a hell of a time.
Yeah. That's what life is, Coach Mack, having a hell of a time.
All right,
appreciate
see you, guys.
You, Coach. See you, Coach. Thanks so much. I was just thinking about this. If there happens to be a kid on one of those teams named Bootsy. I just have a feeling Ron's going to point to him after every play.
Yeah.
Even if it's not that, he'd be like, oh, it's Bootsy. Bootsy.
That was a guy. You know, yeah, the guy.
Booth ain't got no roof.
Spot the lie.
Booth, the roof been gone.
Booth is now being spelled B-O-O-F.
Yes. Going to the booth.
And everybody gets it.
Or it could
sometimes
be.
Sometimes we just do.
We'll be right back. Jay Martin and Mo, 104.5 The Zone. MF Doom. Just thought I'd do it one more time.
Why are you even asking?
Just thought I'd do it one more time.
Other than to just do it as a bit.
Yeah, that's right. It's Jay Martin on 104.5 The Zone. Will Bowling, Lucas Panzeca coming up next. In for Buck.
Lucas is one step closer to accomplishing his dream.
That's right. Supplanting Buck. And he doesn't have to do polls today.
A military coup is on the horizon.
I think I saw Lebowski F-words and what was it? F-words and other
possible football and other
football and other F-words. Good and Lord. Give me a demerit for that.
Oh, no doubt.
That is a demerit.
Preposterous. Basically said, where are the polls? And Lucas just said, I need a break.
That's fair. It's hard out there in those streets.
Aaron Torres will be on with us tomorrow. He hosts with me on Fox Sports Radio on Saturday nights. And he tweeted out about a half hour ago, I keep seeing media people say, well, look at these coaches leaving schools for other places. I never want to hear another complaint about kids leaving again. Serious question, is anyone still complaining about bowl opt-outs and transfers in 2021? I don't see it at all.
Some people are complaining about Alante Taylor.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. Those people need to get a life.
Have to.
Why would Alante Taylor... I'm sorry. Look, you're 7-5. That's great.
Beautiful.
But Alante Taylor is trying to play on Sundays, and he's trying to set himself up for his future.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a bad foot.
Yeah.
He needs to worry about what's next.
Mm-hmm.
Not an exhibition game with a gift bag. There's no reason for him to risk that at all. And if you're saying that, if you were Alante Taylor, you might think you would play in that game. But in 2021, would you really play in X
no.
sponsor bowl that has nothing to do with a college football playoff and doesn't mean anything?
And honestly, the rebuilding of his team, no. The best bet for these guys, the bowl games are basically, to me, and I just thought of this, and maybe I'm completely wrong too, but it's an advancement of spring practice almost at this point. This is an opportunity for you, yes, if you got a bonus as a coach, get a win and get the bonus. But this is also for you to build on for next year. Like, it's not really going to help moving forward. This team is going to finish above 500 even if they do lose it. But as far as Alante, I knew a guy that came out. He came out a couple years after me from South Carolina. He broke his foot, and he still went to the combine to try to compete. He went undrafted. He was projected to be a first-day pick. Broke his foot, never recovered from it. Alante's dealing with the same thing. This Reese's Senior Bowl game, that is his bowl game. He's a senior. He told us in the letter, I played the last couple of weeks with a gimp leg pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
I helped my team fulfill his needs. I got to go fulfill mine now. If you got a problem with that, then quit your job. We'll see how that goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, quit your job. I mean, besides, he got everybody free cookies.
Jason, let's go back to the Ole Miss game. And we saw how banged up Alante Taylor was in that game. And we saw it. Ramon, of course, was there, too.
Yeah.
We saw it right in front of our eyes.
Yep.
That guy
he was hurt.
Left everything on the field.
And again, if you want to preach loyalty, show me where loyalty is in college sports. It's certainly not on the sidelines. I mean, we've seen that happen all week long. And look, that's fine. It's a business. But if it's a business, then it should be a business for the guys who are actually putting their careers on the line physically on the field. I would say this show was 100% behind Alante Taylor's decision.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody like Alante Taylor. I wasn't upset with Christian McCaffrey. I wasn't upset with any of these guys because they're not getting paid right now.
I mean, let's think about Bosa. Wasn't they in the National or competing for it? And they still opted out. It's a new day.
Yes, it is.
It's just different. As the college football is different, we got to move with that, man. And this kid's a senior. Give him all for Tennessee. He did that. So and he's recruited for him.
Quickly, Ramon, put yourself in the locker room. You hear Alante Taylor say that.
Man, dog, good job, man. We appreciate you. Go get it. I hope to join you. Hey, tell him you got a friend in Knoxville that want to play in the league, too. Like, that's where I'm at.
Tomorrow, Andy Staples, Aaron Torres. We will preview all of what we're going to see this weekend. We'll predict some of these conference title games. What kind of shenanigans are going to go down in college football this weekend. We'll finish up a fun week. It's a bye week, but we'll talk more about the NFL slate sans the Titans and react to whatever happens tonight with whatever is on the field for the Saints against the Cowboys.
Should we do a who you want to see lose most this weekend?
Wake Forest tomorrow against Pittsburgh, Moan?
Run away.